Hello everyone, welcome back to the pool car. This is the latest edition of the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey, it's Paddy Davitt here with me. We are at Corley Services, our home away from home, on the way back from Liverpool after Norwich City's 1-1 draw at Anfield. Good afternoon, Paddy. You well?
Very well, Michael. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you very much. I'm very well. It was a good point yesterday, so that helps, of course. And a remarkable day for Russell Martin. It feels like it should be the first point of discussion.
What happened to Russell Martin?
Well, I tell you what, let's let the man himself explain it all.
Fair dues.
It's been pretty hectic. Travelled up with the team yesterday, trained and travelled. Obviously knew my wife was due with our third child at some point next week. But she decided to have it early, so I got a call about 8 o'clock last night to say that she was going into full labour, so we left it a little bit, and then I drove back at 11 o'clock last night from Liverpool. Got to the NNN this morning about 4:30. They were superb, the staff there as always, the midwives were brilliant, and she had the baby at 9:30 this morning, little boy, not named him yet. We're in debate about that, so hopefully we'll decide tonight. We only had 9 months to decide, but yeah, amazing day. And then fortunately directors have got a plane, and Delia and Michael have allowed me onto their plane to fly up, and I got here late, missed the captain's meeting with the referees, and yeah, fortunately got here in time for the game, and obviously it's turned out alright. We spoke about it before, the day before, and said, you know, it could happen, but he was great about it. He said, listen, go back there, be with your family, and if you can get back, brilliant. If not, you just need to tell me if you're okay. I rung him this morning and spoke to Ricky Martin and Gary Holt, and they said, you know, we want you back up here, we want you to play. How do you feel? I've not slept a wink. I tried to sleep on the plane, but it was a bit choppy. So, yeah, to be honest, I'm pleased to get through the game. I was running on empty towards the end, but to get a goal as well was something, a very special day for me, and something to tell my little boy when he's older. You know, there are more important things in football, and I wanted to be there for the birth of my son, but it would have hurt to miss the game, and it was sort of, you're caught in two minds for a little bit, but obviously, you know, family overcomes everything, and fortunately, I've been able to do both. So I'm a very lucky man, very privileged, and then to score here. My uncle's a Liverpool fan, he come here. So I was staring at him when they celebrated, but he was going mental, all the Norwich fans, so that shows how much it means to everyone. And yeah, it couldn't have gone any better for me now. I'm hoping to get some sleep tonight.
Oh, that saved me a lot of work. That has. So congratulations to Russ. He is a dad for the third time. He's had no sleep. And he helped Norwich City a point. I mean, he also helped them go 1-0 down. But we, you know, sort of cursory.
In the interest of balance, I think we have to mention that. Yeah, and he got away with one in the first half as well, when Sturridge, not alone in that, lost out in a duel to Jonathan Ruddy. So, yeah, very, very, very bizarre. Must have been a very bizarre day for the lad. But ultimately, it's brilliant on and off the pitch for him in the day, I think, as he said, to tell his newborn about in years to come.
Yeah, fantastic day for him, brilliant, chuff for him to bits. And I suppose, you know, for all the defensive frailties that came around at times, you can maybe forgive him, given he, you know, had 24 hours without any sleep. And not only that, the emotional drainage of that event happening. It's not just like a normal day when you've just not slept. It's a lot going on, a lot of worry, a lot of joy as well. He's just been knackered.
Yeah, I mean ultimately, if we take a step back, we know full well that there is a debate about whether he's a centre back or whether he's not, and you know that can rage as and when. But just in terms of what it says about him as a character and his role within that dressing room and his leadership qualities, it just does underline, you know, he is a very special character, and you know, we deal with him in the media, and he's a very intelligent, very lucid individual as well. And, you know, I think Norwich are looking to have him, to be honest, irrespective of where his best position is. You know, he's a stalwart type of character, and if you're going to do anything as a football club, you need players like that, and they're few and far between in the modern game, I think.
There was a great line as Russ came over to, just before he was chatting to us after the game, he came over and he was talking to someone from the club, I think, and saying, oh, well, if this doesn't get me in the Hall of Fame, nothing will. So I think, I mean, in fairness, the guy has captained Norwich to a Wembley victory. I mean, he's done a lot more than some of the people in the Hall of Fame at the moment anyway, already. But I'm sure when they have their next entrance into it.
I don't think he needs to worry, let's put it that way.
Yeah, fair enough. Now the best bit of the draw for me, 1-1 draw at Anfield, was the fact that Norwich went behind. They were on the rack for a little bit, but they just regained their composure, created probably their best moments then on the break, and Julie got their reward. They had one chance to win it as well. I know they weren't the most clear-cut chances, and I'm sure we'll touch on to Liverpool in a bit as well, but just that character and holding on and belief in themselves, I suppose. Filled me with a lot of promise.
Yeah, particularly when last time out on the road we got a complete contrast in approach and energy levels, everything really. That was everything that Southampton wasn't, effectively, for me on the road, and that's the most encouraging thing, really. Even if they maybe had succumbed at the end, and when the Reds were rolling forward in front of the Kop, you know, you couldn't have blamed them, really, if they'd have just got picked off there. But even if they had come away getting beat, it was such a leap forward from what we saw against Southampton that, you know, increasingly now you look back and that does look like, just thankfully, just an isolated incident rather than, I think we were right to touch on it at the time, a bit of a regression to some of the worst days when they were on the road last time in the Premier League. Clearly, I think, if you look at that game yesterday, Sunderland away, and now in between Southampton away, I think the body of evidence would suggest that they're not going to be quite so compliant on the road, and they're going to pick up their fair share of points as well. So, you know, nobody wants to get too carried away, but everything looks to be positive and everything looks to be moving in a forward direction.
Well, it's their best tally after six games, I think, that they've had in the Premier League since they went back up in 2011. That's what my little spreadsheet said anyway, but that might be wrong. So I better double check it, but I'm pretty sure it's that. So I think it matched what they did in their first season back up, which they had a decent enough start, or maybe 2013. But I was quite keen to stress that the Southampton defeat reminded me of 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the draw yesterday here at Liverpool reminded me of when they did first come up with Paul Lambert, and just the way that they did have a positive intent all the way through the game. I mean, even he brought Gary O'Neill on late on, but it was a like pretty much, you know, central midfield change for Graham Dorans. It wasn't like he took one of the wingers off. He left Redmond and Jarvis on all game. And obviously the big discussion was Wes not starting, but
yeah.
He explained that well, I thought, and they did what he wanted them to do.
I thought Dorans was very good. I thought, because it was so congested in those central areas, his ability to take the ball in tight, and he can go both ways as well. He's a very, very cultured footballer, and just checking out of little pockets of space with two or three around him and then bringing into play the Bradys and all the Whittakers and Redmonds on either flank. Very intelligent footballer, and that for me worked a treat, really. And as big a shock as it was, it again, I think, for me, underlines that there is a bit of a depth and B quality. That he can go down that route, because let's be honest, before kickoff, Wes Ulan has been their standout player. So to leave him out, I think it's a testament to what he's got in his armoury, Alec Neil. So yeah, all in all, as I say, another huge positive. I thought Graham Dorans was very good.
Interesting you said how congested it was centrally. I mean, Norwich did effectively defensively leave the flanks quite exposed, didn't they?
One flank particularly, yeah.
Yeah, which I suppose in a way you can do against Liverpool, because they don't really use them a lot, do they? Most of it tends to come centrally, and again, as Alec Neil's plan, I suppose, it sort of worked out a tee, because they were always coming inside and it didn't necessarily matter. Norwich carried enough attacking threat on the flanks, I suppose, to help them out.
Yeah, yeah, fair comment. Yeah, I mean, when you've got Benteke, Sturridge and Coutinho all operating centrally, then obviously that is where the threat's going to come from. But, you know, I mean, let's not, you know, put it in context. Liverpool had plenty of decent openings, and they were getting in a little bit too comfortably for my liking in the first half down the Norwich is right. But, you know, when they did get through, then thankfully John Ruddy was at his very best. So, which you're going to need, and Alec Neil alluded to it straight away post-match. I don't care how supposedly poor Liverpool are this season, how much in crisis supposedly Brendan Rodgers is, you're a newly promoted club, you go to Anfield, you're going to need your keeper to play well, and he certainly did that.
Let's hear a bit more from Russell Martin and of course Alec Neil talking about the game.
I thought we worked really hard. You know, I thought we did everything we'd spoke about before the match. But I think the most pleasing thing for me is how attacking we sort of were in the game at times. You know, we posed a real threat going forward, left some bodies up the pitch, and I thought our counter-attacking play with that pace that we've now got in the team, I thought worked really, really well today. Although at times Liverpool had a bit of the ball, I thought we looked relatively solid, and then we did need to rely on Big John. He put off some magnificent saves for us. Like I say, we could have nicked it then. Matt Jarvis had a great chance, and their keepers put off a great save as well. So all in all, I thought the boys did fantastically well. And the biggest thing coming to these type of places, but it's not what you do on the pitch, it's how you take in the atmosphere, and do you honestly believe that you've got a chance of winning the game? You know, and that's a mentality that is trying to change as much as anything else. And as I said to them, I believe we could come here and do something. But the biggest thing is they've got to believe it. And I think we're getting to that stage now where we believe we're a good team and we can go and pretty much get anybody again.
We worked so hard last year to come back to these places. And I think the way we're playing now, I think we're proud of the way we're playing, the performances we're putting in, what the manager gives us, the platform, the belief he gives us as a team, the togetherness and resilience and character that we've got now. I think we're a real hard team to play against, and we've shown that again today. The fact we've come to Anfield and, you know, gone toe-to-toe with a team who for me is still in the top five in the country, although they're going through a sticky patch, shows, you know, what our management team are all about and what the lads are all about and the belief we've got in each other.
We all never quit, you know, we'll sort of fight for every ball, we'll fight for every point, and at times we're not always going to play well, so it might not be enough sometimes, but with the quality we've got in the squad and how hard we're prepared to work and what we're prepared to give to get points for every game, we'll be fine, you know. And like you say, we've got a real sort of togetherness as a group, and that mentality's strong.
Yeah, we have to dig in. You know, you don't come to Anfield and have it easy, have it all your own way, that's for sure. And we're aware of that, but I think there was times when we played some great stuff. John's made some fantastic saves as well. He's been brilliant today, the big man, because there's been games this season where he's not really had much to do and he's had to pick the ball out of the net, and I felt disappointing for us and for him. But today, you know, when he's been called upon, he's been brilliant, and we're going to need that at times because of the way we set up and the way we have a go at people. You know, sometimes it leaves us a little bit open. We don't come back and sit anywhere and wait for the team to play. We want to impose our own game, and we did that, and you know, we might have nicked it at the end. Jarvo had a great chance, and it's a good save from the goalkeeper, but we're well happy with our point. Like I said, we've maintained a really high standard. One performance this season we're not happy with, moved on from that, and now I think people start, you know, taking note of the way we're playing, and hopefully, I think we're sending fans home happy and proud of our team.
I just sat Wes down and spoke to him, just said, obviously, he's been a fantastic player in the last few games for us, but this game, for me, doesn't suit him today. You know, I felt we needed sort of workhorses in the middle that are going to cover a lot of ground and make sure that they were shutting off angles, and if we needed Wes's creativity to come on towards the end of the game, then I would have used it. But I thought the pace in the flanks and how hard we worked in the middle to shut the areas down was the whole game plan today, and it worked.
He's part of our squad. It's never a problem with the players. Lewis obviously dealt with things the way he saw best, or was advised to. It's all gone now. The manager's brilliant at that in terms of his man management and stuff. Lewis has had to work extremely hard to get back into the squad, training on his own, etc. And he's done that. He's done everything I've asked him, and he's come on today. Cammy's put in an unbelievable shift for 70-odd minutes. And then Lewis has come on, been superb for the last 20. He's a big part of it here. He was last year, and he will be this year. We're going to need everyone. If we're going to achieve what we want to achieve this year, which you know, everyone's confident we will, we're going to need everyone involved. And that goes from the lads who are not playing week in, week out, lads who are not quite making the squad, people like Elliot Bennett today and Carl Lafferty who are there, you know, on the bench, giving it as much as anyone, caring as much as anyone. That shows what we're about. We haven't got any individual superstars. We're a real team. I think we've shown that over the last 6, 7, 8 months, and we keep growing as a team, growing together. And, you know, everyone, I think we're genuinely excited about what we can achieve.
It doesn't get any better, really. You know, to leave the hotel last night, goes down, has his kid delivered. I'm really pleased that his wife and the baby are sort of really well at the moment, and then he travels back up and puts a real captain's performance in and gets an equalising goal at Anfield. So as far as he's concerned, it won't get much better than that.
Well, I feel like we should touch on Liverpool because, you know, Norwich has played them, I suppose. Can you... Russell Martin said that for him they were still the fifth best side in the country, or top five side. What do you reckon?
Well, it's pretty much of a muchness, isn't it, really? I mean, as the top clubs are showing in the Champions League, not just this season but the last couple of seasons, I think they fell behind now in terms of the top draw quality, and if I'm brutally honest, I think Norwich are joining a Premier League that isn't as strong as it was the last time they were in it. which is obviously going to aid their cause, you would think, over the piece. They might well be, but I don't think there's a lot between them, Tottenham's, West Ham's. You know, there's a very, very thin kind of dividing line, I think, once you take maybe Man City and Chelsea out of the equation. I don't even think United, despite their good start to the season, are particularly progressed under Van Gaal. So I think it's a poorer product they've joined this season, and frankly, I don't see Liverpool getting in the top four unless Sturridge catches fire, and along with Benteke and Coutinho, because those three are the standouts in that team. But no, I don't think they've quite got enough really to threaten the top four. So yeah, he probably is right in that assessment, but then I don't think there's much between fifth and probably tenth, as Palace are showing.
Indeed. I mean, it was interesting with Daniel Sturridge. He started the game, I think he'd had about a week and a half back in full training. He so clearly wasn't sharp or match fit, even though he, you know, gave a good account of himself, I suppose, in terms of him coming back into the side and tried with what he could and got by on adrenaline, perhaps. Do you reckon Brendan will still be in charge when Norwich take on Liverpool at Carrow Road later in the season? I don't know exactly when it is, but there are a few boos at the end. I mean, they're normally quite patient, aren't they, the fans at Liverpool?
I mean, he was telling, I tweeted it before the game, his programme notes were, he was almost trying to go beyond the media sort of hype and bubble and appeal directly to fans to stay with him. Now, as an outsider, when you're seeing that, then you know he's under a little bit of pressure. I think it hinges on what I just said. You know, if those three particularly start to gel, stay clear of injury, start scoring goals and they're winning games, then yes, he will. But it's a difficult one, because I think it's not just this season, it's off the back of last season when they were so poor in contrast to the season before, when really they should have won the title before they blew up. So I think he's finding himself, he's probably exhausted all that goodwill that he had from that season. So time will tell, mate. It's hard to say, isn't it? You know, who can predict if they could go on a 15 game unbeaten run now, couldn't they? So we'll see.
Well, do Norwich a favour if they did, because then it would become a very, very even better point, probably. There's a lot of building work going on at Anfield, it's fair to say. It's going to be one impressive stadium when it's all done. But anyway, that's enough for Liverpool. Norwich got a busy week of it, haven't they? So we're going to keep this podcast fairly short. But West Brom on Wednesday in the League Cup. I mean, that's going to be quite interesting who we get to see play in that one.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
You're not sounding too well, mate. I don't know if I can be overly bothered about it, to be honest. Obviously, me and Ida will be Norwich fans screaming that they probably at this podcast at this very moment they want a cup run, but you know, I mean, really, if it weren't for Declan Rudd, I don't think they'd have been in the competition. I think Rotherham had more than enough in the previous round, so I think we'll be seeing Declan again. I mean, he tried to intimate before the previous round he wanted to keep a spine of what you would constitute as regular first-teamers and then flow players in around that. Of course, since the previous tie, he has let quite a few go out on loan, so that will be an interesting selection. You would think the likes of Graben and Mbakani would come into the equation. Whether he'd risk Wes, I'm not sure. Wisdom, these sort of characters, Ryan Bennett. You know, Martin Olsen, I think that's a shoo-in. I think he'll play. So, you know, the team that takes the park Wednesday night will be certainly good enough to progress. And obviously, we don't know what approach Tony Pulis is going to go with. They had a good win at the weekend, but he might see it as an unwanted distraction. But, you know, home advantage, you'd think, you know, as long as they apply themselves, and certainly West Brom as an opponent shouldn't strike any fear into them. So it would be nice to think they'll still be in the hat Wednesday night.
Yeah, it would be indeed. It's an interesting one, because of course we did see Lewis for the last 20 minutes at Anfield. Due mercy, probably needs some game time, so hopefully Lewis won't go AWOL. He will actually fancy playing for a bit, and see who gets to go.
I don't think he will be going AWOL. I think he knows exactly where he is now, where he stands.
What would you do? Would you give Mbakani a run out?
Yeah. I would, yeah. You know, you bring in the lad in. Season's already underway. If you're going to use him in the Premier League, which is where it counts, he needs minutes on the pitch. You're not going to bring a lad in with his pedigree and clearly who looks like he's going to be a frontline option and then not use him. So for me, that's a perfect opportunity. And you can still play the two. You know, I know he's wedded two to one out and out in the league, but what's to stop him playing two tomorrow night?
And you are playing a Premier League side. I know they may well change it up, but you know, it's not like they're going to be rocking up against Bury at home. You know, it should be a proper,
yeah,
proper test of any good indication of and chance to see more of what Dumercy has to offer. And then after that is West Ham, isn't it? Just briefly on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, they're erratic, to say the least, but we're getting to see a lot of their good side. They're third in the division at the moment. One at Liverpool and Manchester City.
And Arsenal.
And Arsenal. And lost at home to Bournemouth. But, I mean, we know... I thought they looked very good when they came down in pre-season, personally. And as people are starting to cotton on to, they've got players like Dimitri Payet, and yeah, who are very good players.
Yeah. I mean, you don't go to those three clubs and pick up wins unless you're doing something right. So you would probably have to say the toughest game yet this season is about to hit us when we head to Upton Park. But again, you know, that's a very demanding crowd there, a bit like Liverpool. And if Norwich show the same application they showed on Sunday and start the game properly, and Alec Neil's got his tactical plan spot on, then you fancy they could get something. But yeah, they were very good in pre-season, as much as you can read into pre-season. So I think Norwich will have to be in top gear to get anything at all from there, if I'm honest.
It's been a while since Norwich caught anything from Upton Park as well. It's not particularly happy hunting ground, so ho-hum, hey. Right then, well, we'll wrap it up, but the midweek game on Wednesday, all the usual stuff on pinken.com, live coverage and Mustard TV. And of course, in the newspapers, see some Daily Press and Norwich Evening News, and they will go for both games. I don't know when we'll next do a podcast. We'll have to think about that one. We'll try and do one after the cup, but it might be difficult with deadlines. So I'm just preempting this, so you're all aware. But we'll certainly do our best. And either way, we'll definitely have one after West Ham. So hopefully, you'll get a bonus one later in the week. But either way, we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Paddy.
Thank you, Michael.
We'll see you soon. Bye for now.